Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to another episode of the Scobro Show. You are here for an extremely special episode. It's already there in the title. We don't need to hide it. We have a special guest, but I have to, as always, at first, say hello to my big brother, Rich. You doing well tonight?
Wait a minute. Did you even totally introduce yourself?
Who cares about me?
Okay. I can tell you're already flustered because, you know, I mean, your intro is always like spot on to where I was able to get Michael Beck to copy it last week. I'm doing well. I'm psyched. I'm pumped, tickled to death with our special guest tonight. All day, there was only, you know, two special words that come to mind, but I'm going to save them for the end of the show.
You got to save them for the end of the show. And I guess I should go ahead and introduce myself. I am, of course, as always, Dave Schofield, co-editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And I don't want to wait any longer. We have a very special guest tonight. We have Sam Highsmith, father of Steelers outside linebacker Alex Highsmith, joining us tonight. Mr. Highsmith, how are you?
I am feeling great. I have worked around the house all day, so I'm relaxing. It's just good to be part of this great show. I've seen your show many times on YouTube, so I'm felt kind of special that you actually asked me to be a part of it. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's funny because we're the ones who feel special because you're willing to come be a part of it.
Yeah, we did.
Is that how you feel, Rich?
Oh, absolutely.
So you mentioned before we came on that that you were a principal for 20 years?
Yes. I was educator almost 30. I taught high school and social studies, then went to grad school, became administrator and assistant principal for, from 01 through, I think it was 2012, and been a principal from that point to now. I'm technically on leave now. I'm on family medical leave. My mother is 93. Had several health issues going on. I saved up a lot of sick days, so I was able to go out and basically help her at home, do the cooking, help my son when I need to help him. So it's just been kind of a good time that I've had. But yeah, a lot of years in education and seen a lot of things.
Well, both Rich and I, I was a high school physics teacher for over 10 years, who now for the past 10 years, I've been on a leave of absence as a stay-at-home dad and a homeschooling dad. And through everything here with COVID, and Rich is actually in higher education.
I was actually spent 4 years teaching middle school and high school math and then transitioned my way over to higher ed and work in student affairs. So
awesome.
Yeah.
My wife is a math teacher in high school.
Yeah. And not only that, Rich spent, it was 11 years at
11 one, years,
one Coach Tomlin's alma mater of William and Mary. So yeah. That's where he was previously to where he was now, but we just kind of getting familiar with each other, letting each other know that we, you know, have some similar, I guess, educational backgrounds or just with education.
Yeah.
And we're doing this as a Father's Day, you know, lead up the week of Father's Day. We want to talk about, you know, being a father of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But to get there, I have three kids myself. My kids are going into eighth grade, fifth grade, and kindergarten. Rich has a daughter who just graduated high school. His son just finished his freshman year of high school. Tell us about the Highsmith clan. We know about Alex. Tell us about the family.
Well, the leader, the matriarch, my wife. We met when we were both teaching high school in Wilmington at a school called Hoggard High School. And actually, Hoggard is my alma mater. I graduated. I'm a native of Wilmington. My wife is from the west part of the state. We met there. Alex is the oldest. And I have a daughter who's 2 years younger. My daughter's Lauren. Lauren graduated from UNC Chapel Hill, which is my college alma mater, this past December. And she is trying to transition into graduate school. She's trying to see what she wants to do. She is spent this last semester as a teacher assistant in a special education class just to kind of learn that part. She does have some interest in school psychology or just psychology in general. Pretty much you guys know what Alex does. He graduated from Charlotte. He is still playing this game called football, and that's been fun. Both my kids are engaged and both plan to be married next year. So we're going to have a
very busy
2022. Yes, wow. Lauren has her date set for end of March the 26th. And Alex and Alyssa have not come up with a date yet. They're working on sometime between Lauren's wedding and mini camp. So that's the problem.
gotta work that out there. Yes. So.
Well, you know, Mr. Highsmith, you know, a couple things we were kind of wondering, you know, being a father of an NFL player, for you as the dad, when did you first really feel that Alex had a chance to play in the NFL? At what point in time was that for you?
I'll remember it very well. We were sitting in Knoxville, Tennessee. It was his junior year. And the team's record wasn't great, but we had a really good defense. I would say our defense was, for a while, against the run, they were in the run was pretty good, maybe in the top 10 of scoring. They were in top 10 in the country. They actually were really well. They lost a lot of close games. When UT, we knew, I think that was the last year before they changed coaches. So we knew this was a down year. We had a chance to play with them. But he started in the first drive and got a sack. Then he, in the next drive, he got a tackle for loss. And it just was like, I mean, I've heard his name called out, but sitting there in that stadium and hearing Alex Highsmith on the tackle. And after a while, he got another sack. People were like looking at me. It was turning around looking like, what's going on? And I was doing this, I don't know. And it just blew up because that weekend, after the game and the next day, we just heard what the SEC reporters were saying, just were very impressed. And a lot of it was kind of against Tennessee. You know, look, what are they doing letting this non-Power 5 team come here and do all this? But there were a lot of people who made some very positive comments about our son. And at that moment, I said, oh, my goodness, this is really a chance that he can do this. And from that point, he finished the season strong. He had a lot of preseason accolades. The conference recognized him as one of the possible All-American. He was on the Bednarik watch list for Defensive Player of the Year, and there were a few other things. So we felt good. His first team All-Conference as a junior, first year starting. So we knew he had continued this escalation over his entire career from the time he got to Charlotte and actually goes back to high school. And at some point, if y'all ask about that, I'll kind of give you the pre-Charlotte days. But he just continued, and he just had the super – 2 years of senior, if you remember the numbers, 15 sacks, 21 and a half tackles for loss. And it was so cool watching all year, seeing him and seeing him right behind the leaders, the great Chase Young, and he's right there with him. And to me, getting the third team AP All-American was really amazing and exciting. And that point, we were like, where is he going to play? And early on, it was kind of like, you know, we were just excited about the opportunity. I mean, late round pick. unsigned free agent, you know, all those things. Undrafted free agent, excuse me.
Yes.
We were just excited about the opportunity. We knew it was an opportunity, but we were to say we thought he would be a third round pick. Very pleasant surprise.
I'll be honest with you. There was a lot of times we were running mock draft simulators and things like that, that his name was right there for the Steelers' third round pick as a suggestion. And I always said, when it comes to players from a small school, when it comes to the Steelers, I don't try to guess what they're going to do because they know what they're doing. They know, you know, those non-Power 5 schools, they can find the talent and they can figure it out. If I think I'm going to guess who they're going to take from a program like that, I'll never get it right because they are so much better at it than me. But our own Shannon White from our website, he was actually he filled in last night on the Steelers Hangover. If any of you didn't catch that, he was on there with Brian and Tony. He had Alex pegged to the Steelers in the third round the whole time. We even ran a contest trying to predict the Steelers' first two picks in the draft. And, you know, we did it as a giveaway. He was the one person who had Alex Highsmith, Pittsburgh Steelers, round three. That was pretty impressive. But you talk about, you know, you were at that game. Do you get to most of or all of Alex's games? I mean, even through, like, with college and last year, what kind of – what's your attendance?
We normally tried to get to when he was playing, even his redshirt, sophomore years, when he was just coming in occasionally. We went to over half of the games. We didn't travel to all of them because he wasn't starting. His first start was redshirt freshman year, the starter, him having a concussion. And the bad thing about it was in San Antonio, it was Thanksgiving weekend. Plane tickets were crazy. They were $400 or $500. You know, I almost drove out there. I really, really, really almost did. But I just said, no, he won't. And he had his first career sack, of course, the game I missed. But his senior year, we went to every game. We budgeted it. We were at all 13 because we got a bowl game, the school's first bowl game that year. Playing the Bombers Bowl was really cool. So seeing the progression he made that year was just really good. And when he didn't have a great game, he would always come back and talk about what he could have done better. So he was still never satisfied. And we saw that the Clemson game, the two games, remember the Clemson game and the Old Dominion. But Clemson, I just wanted him to just do okay. I mean, I knew he wouldn't dominate, obviously, but just to compete. And he did that. And name drop. I can't believe I can't think of Clemson's coach's name right now.
Coach Sweeney.
Oh my God, yes. Say Dabo Sweeney talks about your kid and says, this kid, that number five, and that came kind of I put that on so many tweets after that. And I'm glad that number five. And it was surreal hearing him say those things. And we ran into Coach Venerable at the awards ceremony. It was in Charlotte. It was one of those defensive player of the year now. I forget which one exactly, but the Charlotte Football Club was the one was the sponsor of that award. So they recognized area players. So they recognized him and all the other schools in the area and got to speak to Coach Venerable because he was there with I didn't have him sleep real well. The kid was drafted by the Cardinals. Linebacker was so good. He was there with him.
I can't think of it either.
Isaiah Simmons, yes.
Yes.
But
okay.
As soon as we went over there, he remembered Alex. He was just as nice as he is. Oh, yeah, we knew. I mean, we had you on that board, and we could not believe that you were a walk-on. I mean, I was sitting there going, this is crazy. This is my son is talking about. This guy's been coaching in national championships games for basically every year, except a couple. So we knew it was coming, and but it's still that call. All that was just—it was amazing. I don't know if this is going to be one of the calls, but I will want the questions. But I will say this: COVID messed up all the in-facility visits.
Yeah.
So he was supposed to go to Arizona, supposed to go to I want to say Philadelphia, somewhere else, maybe Houston, and I know Pittsburgh. But he had the Zoom call with Tomlin and Colbert, and I just remember saying, hey, leave the door open. I want to hear Tomlin's voice. I mean, he has that voice is just so unique. So I'm sitting there and Alice is talking, so I cracked the doors upstairs and I heard them talking and laughing. And I said, oh my goodness, this is really real. And came downstairs and said, I like them. I hope I get a chance to go there. So
wow.
And that's what happened.
Hey, Dave, we had a couple super chats.
Yeah, I was going to get them. First of all, I'm going to bring up Shawnee through $2 in the tip jar. I'm not going to ask this question yet. I was saving this one. But Shawnee will come back to this. I wanted to at least bring it up before it disappeared. So we had that one because that is one we are going to answer later. Then we have Wes. Wes Hickok, a regular here with the show, puts $5 in the tip jar. Thank you, Wes. He says, an absolute honor to hear you talk to us. I've enjoyed our conversations on Twitter. Welcome to the show, Mr. Highsmith. So we do
I
really appreciate
you, Wes,
being here.
Yep, I saw the picture. I do recognize you. And what I do on Twitter is what I do and have done any group or organization my son's been a part of from the time we were in Pop Warner football through Little League Baseball, through the rec basketball and travel baseball and all of it. I mean, the families and the friends were all a part of this. And I was always really interacting with everyone. I think it's just my time in education, just talking to people, knowing people. And I jumped on Twitter. It's probably Al's senior year when I really jumped on it. And I had a lot of the 49ers people following me. And I had a lot of, and actually when I met him at games, it was really cool. I remember this one guy came down, your house is dead. So he was had a few to drink. So he came out giving this big bear hug, and it was just really cool. And I really am looking forward to this season, seeing a lot of the people that I actually have communicated with on Twitter, actually meeting them. Not that I'm no one. I'm just a proud father. I love people, and I just look forward to those interactions.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So, Sam, how much did you know about the Steelers before Alex was drafted by them? I mean, did you totally understand their tradition, especially when it comes to the outside linebacker position? And you know, did you know a lot about that before he was drafted?
I would say yes, I had a good understanding. I grew up. I graduated high school in 79, so I remember the great years. I mean, I was there. I was expecting a pull for them. I hate the Cowboys, so you know I was so excited. And that's
all right.
That Lynn Swan catch.
That's what we want to hear.
That's the one that I will remember forever. I just yelling excited. I was a Rams fan back then, so the 4th Super Bowl. I wasn't really super excited about losing, but I was freshman in college. I remember saying, we played against the Steelers very well. I'm not disappointed we lost. We played them very well. I, once again, had that respect for organization. I knew enough about the great earlier players, Fast Willie Parker from Clinton High School, which is not even an hour from here. So I was a fan of him because Fast Willie also went to Carolina, which I was an alumnus of. So I was a follower of them when he played, and I want to say, was Parker on that fifth championship? Was he a
member of that team? Yes, he busted the big 75-yard touchdown run.
Yep.
Is that how long it was?
I remember that.
We're fanning through that fantastic block.
Oh, gosh, I feel bad. I was pulling the Cardinals, not because of anything against the Steelers. I love Memphis Gerald. I'm one of those, if I don't have a dog in the fight, I'll pick a player. Like this year, I'm pulling for Chris Paul and Suns because I respect Chris Paul. I think he deserves a championship. But that was the only reason. But God, what a great game. That 99 was over 100-yard interception return by James Harrison. I mean, that was crazy. Yeah. And then the toe down. I remember going, his second foot wasn't down, but I'm happy that other foot was down. So that was special. And nothing but respect. I was so happy for Coach Tomlin for what he had done and just the respect for the organization. And I remember when Tomlin was hired, they had only had Nolan and Collar and him, and the fact he's still there. I mean, I love that whole idea of a organization that's believes in loyalty, that has trust. And, you know, it's like if it was a school system, that's the kind of school system I'd want to work for. If I was a coach or player, that's the kind. So once there was interest, genuine interest in my son, I was like, this is great. And I messaged a friend I met at the Shrine Bowl down in Tampa, well, actually St. Pete. And I told him, hey, he had a great interview with Steelers. What do you think about that? And this guy lives in Philadelphia. He's an Eagles guy. He said, that is a perfect fit, Alex. And I remember that. And I was like, okay, this is good. And then I started doing some more research. And as the more I went through the names, I remember Woodley. And I remember all the other great players. I didn't realize some of them had played for the Steelers until I started watching some of the highlights recently. But we knew the tradition was great. I mean, me and Jack Lambert. But I remember as
you're not going to have a problem with Steelers fans if you're saying you were pulling for Larry Fitzgerald, because remember, it's Pitt, so you know.
Okay.
Steelers fans generally also pull for Fitzgerald anytime he's not playing.
Had it not been the Steelers, I would have been paired.
Oh, absolutely,
for Arizona because
that,
of
that
Larry
guy
Fitzgerald.
Deserves a ring. He's fantastic, and I mean, like you say, when you go into Heinz Field, now you've been to Heinz Field because you were able to go to games last year as part of friends and family. Was there any place you were completely locked out of because of COVID where family couldn't even come to the games?
A lot of disappointment. We Obviously, we missed the Giants game because of New York's rule and the Bills game for that same reason. No one was allowed until the Broncos game, I think it was. No, Broncos game we missed. It was the Eagles game. That was the first game we were at. We came to the Eagles. Me and my wife, me and my daughter came to the Browns game. My wife and I went to Tennessee. I want to say then we had that craziness. Oh, that was that craziness with the closing the facility down. And so the next game I want to say I went to was possibly the Ravens game. But, you know, brother and I went to the Ravens game. I didn't get back to Huntsville until the Washington football team game. Yeah, because I kind of took a break from the games, and then they didn't allow people for a while. We were at Jacksonville. We were at Cincinnati. I'm missing one. That playoff game, which is kind of forgettable. But, yeah, we were there for that. So I got a good taste. Didn't get the feel. Oh, Cowboys. Sorry. Cowboys. That was the biggest crowd that I was at. And that was fun. Definitely fun going in there and beating them.
Yeah, because I'm trying to remember which game it was. It was on the road where you did post on Twitter about they had the family seats like really far out there. Which one do you remember? Where was that one?
Cincinnati Bingo.
Oh yeah. So did you have to take the Escaloosa?
It was awful. I was sitting. We were sitting next to Benny Snell's family, and I forget who else was nearest, but we were literally 5 rows from the top. Plenty of space in front of us. Talking about they were doing more than social distancing. They did it on purpose, and it was really frustrating. Of course, we didn't play well, so that just made that game. So that's one that we're probably not going to. That'll be a rest weekend, so we won't make that trip to Cincinnati this year. There's some good eating up there. We enjoy that. It's a pretty – the river's really pretty and all, but, yeah, we'll take a break this year.
Yeah, well, trust me, Steelers fans – we don't want to talk about those places, you know, to have to go. I mean, the state of Ohio, funny because, you know, I've been to Columbus a couple of times, but, you know, and that doesn't seem so bad, but it's just as a Steelers fan, you don't even want to think about that. You get between the mistake by the lake and everything else, just stay away. You're fine. But actually Rich and I, we both have season tickets, but not together, because when I got my tickets, he was still down at William and Mary, so he wasn't in on that. So I went in with my sister's husband, and now then when a friend of mine's like, "Oh, I can get tickets. You want to come with me?" I said, "How about my brother?" So we're excited to get back to games this year. We're excited to get there. We both live in Maryland. We live about 100 miles apart, probably even more than that. I make the 3.5-hour trip to go to as many games as I can. And it's great. We've got another super chat I better bring up here, because WHH throws 1999 into the tip jar. Ooh. And he says, if there is one offensive play Alex has the choice of being a part of, would it be A, as a fullback blowing up another linebacker, or B, going in as a tight end catching a pass? What do you think would be more exciting for Alex?
I'm going to say B. When we were in Pop Warner, he played both ways. So he played a lot of running back. Actually, he was pretty quick when he was younger. Played some running back, some fullback in the last year, Pop Warner. He wanted to play both ways his senior year, but just a strange year with a lot. There were just some personnel issues between JV and the varsity, but he only played defense, but he would have been a tight end if he would have played then. So I think he would like to catch that ball. He has some decent hands. He thinks he has great hands.
We know.
He had great hands against the Ravens that was Halloween night? Or it was November 1st, the day after Halloween. At Charlotte, he could have had at least 2 interceptions, and both times he just kind of – one was so easy, I don't know what happened. The other one, he wasn't looking. So I was like, please catch this one. I was sitting there in that same end zone where the interception was. And what I actually had, my camera. And I said, you know what? I told my brother-in-law, George, let me just record. You never know. He might get a good tackle. So I actually had it on. And I was focused on – the camera. I didn't jump at all until after I realized it was him. I used to be a photographer in high school and still love photography. So I was getting that good picture. I said, George, that was that Alex? He said, yeah. I said, go, son, go, son. I still kept it recording the whole time. Yeah, good hands. And I love what Tony Romo said. He high pointed the ball.
Yes, he did. That was the first thing I noticed when he did it. Yep. First thing I noticed on that was, boy, he high pointed that football. That was fantastic.
It was special. So, to me, it shows he really has worked. He worked on those things at practice, and he and as you said, they told him, hey, be prepared for it, and he did it again. He was ready. So,
all right. So, Mr. Highsmith, my son is here in the live chat. He put a question in there, and I'm going to go ahead and ask it for him. Okay? But I'm going to ask it in two parts. First of all, since you got it to be in Heinz Field, did you get to experience the playing of Renegade?
Two of the games, they didn't play the Eagles game, which I was surprised. They played in the Browns game, and even though there weren't that many people, it still felt good. I mean, it was special. I remember giving my phone to my daughter. I said, "Recording me doing some of the stuff," and I had the towel going, and it was good. So that, besides seeing my son's name up on the picture up on the Jumbotron, but hearing that with the crowd is going to be one of the things I'm most excited about this year.
You're going to love when there's 60,000 plus fans in there going nuts at that. That is an experience in itself.
Yeah, so. I've talked about in the past that the loudest Renegade that I've been at in person was I was at the game. We call it the Joe Hayden interception game when the Steelers beat the Patriots. In I can't even remember the I don't even 2018 I'm pretty sure that was, you know, and they beat him at home. When they played Renegade there, it was crazy. I can't wait to get back to the stadium in order for that. So so yeah, that was another thing. So now I'm trying to remember. I had three questions in my mind. Now I want to ask, remember which one I want to do. Rich, you go ahead. I'll sort this out.
You mentioned us a little bit off the camera, but I'm going to go ahead and ask this so that our folks out there in YouTube, Facebook, podcast form can hear this. You know, how often do you get to communicate with Alex? And have you talked to him today with minicamp going on?
I would say we generally talk to him three or four nights a week. Sometimes depending on. If he's got a lot going on, he's tired, he won't call, but he's generally pretty good. And sometimes he'll call mom and he won't even talk to me. And that's actually fine. I mean, I am okay with saying my son's a mama's boy because I was one myself. So I'm not going to have an argument with that. But, he called earlier. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the posts, but we are sponsoring the first annual Alex Highsmith football youth camp. A youth football camp, excuse me, and we were just kind of talking about that and some of the follow-up with some of the guys who are coming to help and different things. So he said he'd call, so I want to make sure that I was a guy that called before or after this. But, we 3 to 4 times a week. Sometimes we got calls every night, depending. Now, during the season, sometimes that would still go down, but, you know, I would still say at least two. If mom doesn't hear, she's going to worry. And I'll text first. I generally don't call just to, because you never know who's around now. And if I call, then if he doesn't answer, I mean, yeah, he's doing something or he's asleep. it's good to stay in touch because, I mean, obviously we know our son's a professional football player, but we still don't see him that way. Because it really hasn't changed, except he drives a nice new truck that he didn't drive before. And I have the old truck that he had, but it's just real important that as a family, make sure that he stays grounded. And I think it's important that to him that he stays grounded. So I will be honest, part of one of the good things about COVID, we didn't have the full onslaught of people and everyone around. It was just a kind of quiet transition to this. And I think it's going to help this coming year for him. the groupies, okay. all that stuff. And yeah, we have to deal with a lot with that. So,
but before we do our break, I do want to ask one more quick question to follow up there is, so where did Alex spend the off season? Did he stay in Pittsburgh? Was he home with you all? Was he kind of, you know, various places, or how did that work?
The majority of the time he was in Cornelius, North Carolina, which is maybe 20 minutes north of Charlotte. He worked out of that lab called Jet Performance Labs, run by a former trainer for the Panthers. And it's really cool. He worked out with Daniel Jones, who's native of Charlotte. Stephon Gilmore had been there some, because I want to say he's either from somewhere in South Carolina. But anyway, he was there, and he met several people, and it was really good. I went one day and took a bunch of pictures and just watched the training regimen, which was pretty cool. I actually never posted those pictures, but I need to post some of them because people are saying how big he's gotten. Well, he works. I mean, wow.
Yeah, he's looking fantastic. He really is. So we're going to go ahead and roll into our break here. We're going to finish up part one, and you're going to stick with us. Right? Like I said, if Alex calls, you have our permission to go. but we're going to go ahead and take a break. So if you're here, if you're listening to us on the audio side, just go ahead and click on over to part two. If you're here with us on YouTube or Facebook, just hold on. We'll be back in just a moment.